Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to have, or to start the day with a baptism. And I think some of the things I already had planned to share will go well with it, and just appreciate all the reminders and hearing the scriptures read and the Didache. It was a blessing to hear that. So I had a psalm catch my mind a few weeks ago, and it had just been on my mind, so I thought I would read it. It's Psalm 49, if you want to follow along. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him, though while he lives he blesses himself, for men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, they shall never see light. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. So like I said, it just had some things that caught my eye. This psalm is something that is intended for everyone. It says that, like, this is wisdom intended for everyone, low and high, rich and poor. This theme is that all of us, we have a common end. We're headed for death. We can see that. And I like how he says in verses like 6 and 7, he sees that people cannot redeem their soul by wealth or money. And so it doesn't make sense for people to pursue wealth and money. If a man could redeem his soul through money, it makes sense. They should be storing up all they have so that they could, you know, purchase eternal life. But that's not how eternal life works. You know, if somebody could take it by force, then being a mighty warrior and working in this life to obtain that, it would make sense. People realize their futility of life. It shows in verse 11 that people call lands after their own names. Like, people will seek for honor and make a name for themselves. So they see that they don't have eternal life, they see their death, but maybe if people would just remember who I was, I'll name this land after myself, and that's how I'll gain a sense of immortality. It reminded me of there's some ancient writings that I had to read, like, back in school, Epic of Gilgamesh, Greek writings like Homer. In these worldly writings, polytheistic religions, they had such a grave view of the of life, like gods had reserved immortality for themselves, and we're just these mortals, and all we have is this short temporary life, and then it's over. And so it causes people to seek after these things in this life. Like Paul says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And I want to just like the theme of this psalm, look at that. What is the proverb that he says? He says in verse 4, I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp. It seems to me that the theme that he repeats throughout this is that a person who is seeking for riches and honor in things in this life is like a beast. This is the comparison in the psalm. He's saying that the way of the foolish, it says they are like sheep laid in the grave, and death will be their end. In the grave. Sure, yeah. And how it ends, a man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish. So I wanted to, I'll try to be brief with this for the sake of our time today, but the zoom in on this comparison of being like the beast. What does it mean? I think he's saying that these people live for temporary things in the same way that an animal, all they do is live for temporary things in this life. And in doing so, they're losing their opportunity for a resurrection. Because the psalmist has a different perspective on life. He says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. What does he know that the people seeking after riches and honor, they don't know? So I wanted to demonstrate this with a few, sort of like a game, some rhetorical questions. And I kind of wish I could have come up with better things than this, but... it's a game that would be like, would you rather have this or rather have this? Would you rather have a grocery cart of ready-to-eat food or a garden? Would you rather have a hot fish fry or a fishing pole? Would you rather sit and relax in the shade on a hot summer day, or go out and make firewood? For the children, it kind of reminded me of this old children's story called The Little Red Hen. Like, would you rather be the people that did not want to help the little red hen turn her wheat into bread, and instead you have all these things that you'd rather be doing and having fun? Or would you rather be that little red hen that had to do it all and work and prepare the bread? What I'm trying to demonstrate with these two things is that in these two options, we have the first one, which is some kind of immediate gratification, some kind of short-lived pleasure. And the second one, it's not immediate. It's kind of, we know that second one is the better option. Ultimately, it's better to have a garden where you can have a renewable source of food. It's better to have a fishing pole and be able to catch fish. But it takes work and it takes effort. And this is what our life is. We're always faced with these two choices of being able to seek some kind of immediate gratification or some kind of a long-term, it's not seen at this point, but it's something that's going to be a longer-term eternal pleasure. And the point with this is that sin feels good in the moment. It's enticing. We can be tempted to pursue this in many different areas of our life, whether it be through seeking gratification with food, with covetousness towards other people's things, with lust of the eyes, with lying, or even gossiping can give us these pleasant feelings for a moment. But are these pleasures not short-lived? After we get a short amount of pleasure from them, that pleasure is gone, and then what we're faced with is a guilt, and we feel worse off than we did before. So what are some other options? What's an alternative path, and alternative options for pleasure? And I want everyone to think about, what are some times that you've done something good for somebody, or you've given a gift to somebody, you went and helped somebody that couldn't have helped themselves? Perhaps you took time to stop and even give somebody the message of the kingdom of God, you know, helping a person spiritually in that way. How did you feel after that? Have you ever felt, or, you know, did you feel that peace and satisfaction? Was this a pleasure that, like, you regretted? Have you ever done something good for somebody and regretted it? And I don't think we do. I think these are eternal pleasures that don't go away. And I think God is teaching us things in this. God's Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, when we pursue these things, they're eternal and they give eternal gratification. And relating it to this psalm, we can be like beasts who go after temporary pleasures that will not last forever, or we can be called above the beasts to seek the things that do last forever. And wrapping up, we have proof and a hope that what this psalmist says is true, because we have living evidence of someone that was wise and they decided to dedicate their entire life to serving others and doing good to other people and living only for eternal things and serving others. And God, because this man Jesus lived for eternal things, God raised him from the dead and gave him immortality. And he showed us this light and this path that we can follow after, so that we can agree with the psalmist in saying, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. So it's just my encouragement today that we look at the way that we spend our time and realize just from a logical and reasonable point of view, we can pursue the things that matter eternally and will bring us eternal satisfaction. And God has designed it that way because he wants us all to enter eternal life. So wrap up. I think this can give some new light to that scripture where Paul says about Jesus, how he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I think Christ did that through his life. He shows us the path to immortality. So I'll leave it at that for comments, corrections. God bless you.
Amen, Brother Daniel. And I think if most of professing Christians heard that, 90% would say amen. But how many groups are there like the Road Ministry that actually won't pursue wealth, that will live? And we know that Teo come from it, and others have been associated. Buddy was associated with it, I think, and they're a good example for us to follow, because we do collect certain things, and there are many givers in here, but it's until we get to be Brother DeJohn's age that applies to us. Let's not fall into the trap of mammon. But bless you, it was a good lesson on money. We need to remember that we brought nothing into this world, and it's definite that we're going to take nothing out. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. That was really good. Contrasting the Esau approach, let me just get my meal right now, or the Jacob approach, now let me get the eternal kingdom, the birthright. And I guess the thing I was going to just... that I just noticed in the text, where it likens a fool to a beast, is because it seems like to me that, you know, animals don't, although there are some smart animals, I mean, sometimes the things that dogs do or things I've seen, I have seen face-to-face dolphins on one or two occasions, but the different animals that can do amazing things, that just testifies to God's amazing creation, but they don't have the logical reasoning skills that human beings have, and it really kind of points back to even the fact the Spirit of Christ is the Logos, the logic, the logical word, and that's what we're endowed with. And so there's an expectation and demand that we use those to bring glory to God, and we make right choices, God-like choices, which I think is so much what this psalm is about, rather than the opposite, foolish, as the writer says, or it seems like it's probably David, likening the foolish to a beast that doesn't have those abilities. And so the beast, that's, he can't use what he doesn't have, but a fool can choose to use those and stuff. So anyway, there's some thoughts.